This podcast is brought to you by Men's Tee Clinic. Men's Tee Clinic is the team I trust with my total wellness optimization, and so should you. Five DFW locations with North Frisco, El Dorado Parkway at Dallas North Tollway now open. Call 972-GO-MEN'S-TEE or visit mensteeclinic.com.
For the past three seasons of Gone South, we've covered one story per season. Now, Gone South is back for a fourth season. But this time, we're doing things a little differently. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Did you know that VA New England Healthcare provides the very best medical care for our nation's heroes? Did you or a loved one serve this great country? You might be eligible for free healthcare. Find out right now by calling 844-VA-CARES. That's 844-VA-CARES. Or visit the VA website at vacares.us. Look, if you or a loved one served this country, get the healthcare you earned and deserve.
Here we go. It's our number two of the G-Bag Nation on 105.3 The Fan, standing by now for a Mike McCarthy press conference as we wait out this storm in downtown Dallas at 75 and Fitzhugh. Holy cow. Maybe an omen of things to come here. Election tomorrow. Hope everybody getting out there and voting for their candidate of choice. Maybe you haven't already. I did see about half the ballots have already been cast. A lot of people doing that early voting. Salute to you, however you choose to engage in your American privilege and right as a voter. Okay, Cowboys Monday takeaways and topics as we stand by now for the Mike McCarthy press conference. I got him going 6-11. I think that makes sense. You beat Carolina and New York probably and figure out a way to win one of the other games that you will not be favored in. You'll be an underdog in. Dak Prescott injured has to decrease their odds significantly, doesn't it? I mean, nobody would possibly make a case you have a better chance of winning with Cooper Rush. Nobody would do that. Although, I might take Cooper Rush plus Rico more than Zeke plus Dak. You know, no offense to those guys, to a proper backfield legends in Cowboys history. But dang, it looked pretty good yesterday with Rico.
So you are making the case.
What, Cooper plus Rico better than Dak and Zeke? What do you think? I think I'd rather have option one there. I see the ball more accurate. I see it jump out of the hand quicker. I see better decision making earlier in the play with Cooper Rush. Dak has had this playmaking ability, but how much of that has been tied to athleticism? I mean, you couldn't play much worse than what we've seen from Dak so far. I don't know. Maybe there is some meat on that conversational bone at 877-881-1053. Here's what I wanted to ask you guys, though, as we stand by for Mike McCarthy. Mashota making the point today, they look more like a team headed for a top 10 draft pick than a team about to go on a run. That's clear.
Yeah.
What would you do with your pick if you are inside the top 10? You can snap your fingers and make any position in the draft the best position on the board. What position do you want that to be with this Cowboys team?
It's a great question. I think I go back to the offensive line. I think I'm replacing Terrence Steele at right tackle, or maybe I'm moving Guyton over to right tackle and replacing Guyton with a better left tackle. Travis Hunter has, I'm definitely interested in that dude.
Yeah, that's exciting, isn't it?
But I think I would go offensive line if you give me a surefire guarantee. I have a super beast for the next decade. Give me a lineman.
Yes, if you could dial in like an all-pro level right tackle and be somehow rid of the Terrence Steele contract, I would be a lot more excited about the immediate turnaround. I'm worried that they're going to be this high with a perfect spot to take a generational tackle and be thinking, we're good at tackle for now. Let's look at some other spots. I mean, obviously with Tank about to retire, end is huge. You could use another corner, couldn't you? A blue chip corner?
Yeah. Well, yeah. I mean, the options are endless with what you could use. Yeah, so it's really all out there for you.
But it comes to positional value, I think. Right. When you're inside the top 10, do you want to take a safety or a linebacker or a running back or a guard? Probably not.
Here's your biggest nightmare right now.
What's that?
That the first defensive tackle off the board.
Michigan.
Oh, it's Mason Graham.
It's Mason Graham.
Yeah, I saw that.
He's off my board. He's not even on. There is just no way that I would even have him as a name on draft day that would be considered draft eligible.
There's a lot of that around the league, there is a big understanding or a big pushing of that this year's draft for defensive tackles is really great. The number of players that, you know, and it might be better than what a offensive tackle. But when you're picking, you're going to probably have a chance at the Texas kid. Is it
tackle. Banks, Kelvin Banks,
Banks
Jr.
Banks, and then Will Campbell will be the kid at LSU.
Yeah.
I've seen Will Campbell play every snap he's played at LSU. That I would pause on that one. I would pause on Will Campbell.
And meaning take a pass? Pause? I would consider it?
I would look another position.
Okay.
I would probably look at another position if it's, you know. Now, again, that's just me. I'm watching the games. I think there's sometimes you can watch in the South Carolina game. He gets broken down. South Carolina did a great job of breaking down Texas A&M the other day.
Whew.
But I will say that to me, Will Banks, I mean, seeing him play, I mean, I thought he was coming out last year.
Yeah, Banks is a really good player.
He is a good player. But interior defensive line appears to be a very, very, very strong position in this draft.
But that would be perfectly timed for the Cowboys, yeah. You know. And when are you going to start reviewing players, Brian?
Tomorrow.
Tomorrow?
No.
December 1, man.
I usually do December 1, but I think in talking to Wolchuk, I think what I'm going to start doing is up until December 1, I think every Thursday, that seems to be the one day that I don't have my responsibilities.
Eight podcasts, watching
film of the other. Yeah, I still have
it. It might be time to start cranking this thing up early.
I'm
get ahead, man.
I'm going to get a jump. I can't believe we started talking about the draft this early, though.
No, but when you're a team that might end up having a top 10 pick,
yeah.
I mean, it's something where, yeah, the possibilities are going to be there. I think edge rusher is definitely going to be in play in this draft.
Yeah.
I'm not taking a defensive tackle. They can't evaluate it. I'm staying the hell away. I don't want them taking. I don't trust them when it comes to defensive tackles. I think Mason Graham's a hell of a player,
yeah.
But there is something about that Michigan system. Like when I've seen him play, he's got some Braden Fisk to his game, who I loved coming out of Florida State.
Well, isn't
a little
that
bit more athletic?
Isn't that defensive coach at Michigan? He's at the Los Angeles Chargers right now.
Yeah, he left. He left.
Yeah, have you seen the Chargers? They haven't given up like more than 20 points in a game.
Yeah, the defense has been awesome.
Standing defense.
Yeah.
Now, and that's a team that's starting to get on the rise, but. Yeah,
Cornerback's another great spot, they're saying.
Yeah, yeah, and I think wide receiver, if you have a clear candidate there.
Yeah, I mean, that's the thing about Travis Hunter is you could draft your surefire corner, and you could also mix him in offensively.
That would be a lot of fun.
Can I interest you in a safety?
If he's elite cover guy.
Well, they're saying that position's also
Malachi Starks from Georgia.
Yeah.
If there's an Earl Thomas floating around, I'll be interested.
Kevin Winston from Penn State is another guy people are talking about. So yeah.
This will be fun. You know, when you're outside like the top 18, you have to consider that the guy you get is most likely not going to have a first round grade. When you're in the middle of the first round, you're like hopeful, probably the guy's going to start. Man, when you're in the top 10, you're like, wow, we could get a real foundational type of player, and our draft coverage is second to none. So I'm so excited about, you know, how you guys are going to start covering these guys. The penalties are something that we talked to the first hour. I wanted to ask you, you know, why does this happen where for every year under Mike McCarthy, they're in the bottom third of the league? The best they've been is 23rd.
Yeah.
Is this not coaching hard enough? Is this also maybe something that veteran leadership gets guys accountable? Because it just seems like they're not fearing anything, or they don't respect authority if you're consistently that off task. Or is it just that they're so overwhelmed that they're trying to cheat a little bit before the play starts because they don't want to get their butt whooped again? How do you explain this? To me, it's obviously a coaching thing. Is it also Dak? You know, is this Tank? You got to get a hold of your rookies and say, guys, what the crap are we doing? Where's Zach Martin here?
Yeah,
you know, grab somebody, snatch him, and be like, hey, Rook, listen up. We're fighting our balls off to get here. We just had more passing yards and rushing yards than these guys, and we're constantly facing third and have to pass the damn ball because you're freaking penalties, guys.
Yeah, I mean, the problem is it's too late for these guys to do that in terms of not just this season, but like when has Zach Martin ever been that guy?
Yeah.
When have they ever had that guy?
Maybe Travis.
I'm trying to think of... Like you don't just wake up one day and have that in you. None of these guys have, and that's why they're perpetually awful at this.
I would think Dak has it. You know, maybe not in a get in your face, be a jerk guy, but in a hey, we got to communicate as a modern, you know, entity type of way.
He was visibly more frustrated yesterday, like in the game, yelling at guys than I've ever seen him. after a false start.
Yeah.
He turned. I mean, Jake Ferguson had one. Chewed out Jake Ferguson. He did do that yesterday. You could tell he was frustrated, which is probably why he's looking over to Trey Lance in the fourth quarter. There's 3.5 minutes left, and he's like, we believe in suck.
Yeah. Well, maybe
there's nothing he can do.
In the next 4 years, I do not expect him to be physically a better player, but his awareness as a player needs to get better here if he is not going to age horribly. And I would hope for, you know, some better leadership. Not taking advantage of the early turnover was just maddening. What do you guys think of the 4th-and-1 jet sweep to CeeDee Lamb?
Oh, I hated it.
I mean, it worked big time like 20 minutes later.
Yeah, when it's not 4th-and-inches and everybody knows that you have to run the ball right now and you got a bunch of guys in the box and you're probably outnumbered. Yeah, that's a QB sneak situation.
And they're lining up in shotgun on 3rd down. I'm like, what are you doing? And the one time they gave it to Hunter Lipke, he ends up picking up on 3rd and 4, 1st down, before he gets 5 yards.
I think I was indifferent on the play, and I'll tell you why. I think it was a damn good play by Ellis there. And
that's the guy you intentionally leave him unblocked, right?
Well, yeah, that's the guy that you leave, that you try and influence on the play. The problem was, as well, if not Ellis, then they brought Alford, because of the motion they're playing man coverage. They bring, as
C's, yeah, the guy's across, following him.
Alford follows him. So now Alford, Steele tries to block him, can't get him. So Alford's now there. They also, Banks is working Ferguson. So you basically had 3 Falcons at or behind the line or on your side of the line of scrimmage. You know, if he gets past Ellis, then,
ooh, we got to go to Mike McCarthy. Yeah, great. Yeah. So let's pick that up.
You start with the status of Dak Prescott and what you're looking at there as far as the length of the injury he's dealing with.
I mean, Dak Prescott's injury, I mean, we're obviously still evaluating. We've have some information. The only thing I really have for you as far as the timeline would be that he will not be available this week.
And without Dak, if you can just talk about how you proceed with Cooper Rush and Trey Lance and just talk specifically about Cooper and what he's done in your time.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, it really doesn't change anything for us. And even speaking with Dak earlier, I mean, this is about the quarterback room. I mean, we've always invested all the time and energy into the quarterback, Dak, that has the football. So now it's Cooper's turn, and Dak will be part of that process. And we'll rally around him and make sure that we do everything we can and make sure he's prepared, and we'll just keep going about it the way we've gone about it.
Todd. Mike, Todd Archer with ESPN. Is IR a possibility for Dak when you get that information?
I mean, obviously a lot of conversation, but, I think once the doctors and really, once he figures out exactly, where he's at, I mean, those are – conversations that will probably happen here over the course of this week.
And then with Rush, you talked about it a little bit. Can you, and Trey, are there certain ways you can get Trey involved in the game now, or do you just not want to do something like that?
I mean, I think if you just look at the way we played the last game, I mean, we're just really want to improve on the things we did well, but obviously we had to clean up, the pre-snap penalties, particularly on the road. The good thing is that we are coming home to play, because that's part of the part of the mistakes that we've had. But, our focus is really to go into this and have a game plan to beat the Eagles' defense, and we have great, great confidence in Cooper.
Todd, Yusuf, The Athletic. Mike, you've had 2 extended stretches without Dak, one in 2020, then in 2022. Different results. How do you see – how do you compare those two and how you can make this more like 2022?
2020 really on just so many different – fronts was a challenging year. Obviously, that was a huge injury, and he was playing, playing well at that time. Yeah, and it's a totally different team, different setup. I think we're definitely further along. And Dak's second opportunity when Cooper went in there and did very well. So I don't. But the point I'm trying to make is I really don't use 2020 as a comparable on a lot of things that we do, just because it was such a different year. But yes, I mean Cooper's played really good football for us. I think he's 5-1 in his opportunities. So, like I've already said, we have great confidence in him.
Does that 5-1 record go a long way in the locker room as well, just in terms of knowing that he's capable of going out?
Well, it goes well beyond 5-1. I mean, Cooper Rush is as respected as a backup quarterback that I would say since Rich Gannon. When I was Rich in the 90s of Kansas City Chiefs. I mean, he carries that type of credibility. He's a great teammate. He's someone that you can see the young guys lean on. Wicked smart, instinctive. Does a great job on it, when he runs a scout team. So I mean, he just does everything the right way. Yeah, excellent pro, and like I said, there'll be plenty of confidence in him.
Nick Harris, Fort Worth Star-Telegram. Obviously, turnovers and inconsistency was kind of a problem for Trey Lance during the preseason, but is there anything you can take away positive-wise that you could potentially use here down the stretch?
Yeah, Trey Lance just needs to play. I mean, I've said that probably 20 times during the course of the preseason, and I think just the fact that he was able to get game reps. You look at Trey from the time he arrived, there's a lot of new things he had to do, footwork-wise, concept-wise. But another excellent, excellent teammate. He's a big part of our quarterback room, the way we function. They all have responsibilities throughout the week for game planning, presentations. Trey does an exceptional job, in that area, especially with signals and things like that. So, he's ready to go to be in that two spot. We trust this quarterback room.
Is there an outlook for Micah Parsons this week right now?
Just talking with Micah earlier, he's feeling better. So he's going to get some practice time Wednesday. That'll be a big day, kind of point us in that direction. So it looks like he's going to be able to potentially get on the practice field.
Joe White, All City Dallas. Kind of on that same note, is there kind of an update on Deron Bland's potential for getting back out?
He's kind of the same mode. He'll probably start with the rehab group, I'm projecting, because tomorrow's workout will be part of that evaluation. So I'm hopeful that he can move from the rehab group to maybe some limited work Wednesday, but that's to be determined.
Go back to that Falcons game. Looked like the running game got going a little bit as the game progressed. What did you kind of see from just the rhythm that Rico kind of had, and then the offensive line working together?
Yeah, I think clearly giving Rico touches, we'd like to give him some more touches. Obviously his ability not only to run it, but he's very effective in a passing game too. So, yes, the only thing that we really didn't do was to get more trips to the plate in the run game. But I thought Rico played very, very well.
Babe Lockmark, 105.3 The Fan. Mike, taking 2020 off the table, with being 3-5, losing your starting quarterback, the Zeke situation. Is this maybe your most challenging week that you've had
this year?
In your time here.
Taking 2020 off the table.
Well, I don't know. That's a good question. It's hard. Yeah, it's definitely hard. I just think this is the path that's been cut out for us. I mean, we're going through, adversity, and it's a phenomenal opportunity for us as a team, is frankly what we talked about in the team meeting today. And I think the biggest thing for us is, we come out of the bye week, had a rough, really rough game before the bye. Came out of the bye week, thought it was very productive, improved some in our play against San Francisco, had a chance to win the game, took another step, played better against the Falcons. So really the biggest thing is to keep building off what we've done. We answer so many questions, and that's just the beauty of coming in here. It's just so thankful about all the things that we don't do well. So I think it's important for us to really just stay on top of the things that we have done well. And, number one, I finally felt like we were in a flow on offense. We were able to get to some up-tempo. We were able to get some balance, with the offense, offensive play calling, running pass. So just to build off that, I thought Mike's plan was exactly what we needed. He turned up the heat some on the pressure and things like that. So, we're doing some things better, and hopefully we can get some guys back too. That'll help. But, the continuity and the consistency, we need to take another big step. And we got a big game, obviously, with the Eagles coming here for our division. So just really staying focus on the self, Scott, cleaning our own house, and staying after it. Because at the end of the day, if we take care of the things we were able to control, the result of that game yesterday would have been different.
Aaron.
Aaron Kasnitz, Lone Star Live. Mike, just want to check in on Ezekiel Elliott. Did you meet with him at all today, and do you anticipate him being available for the team next
year? Yeah, Zeke will be available. He was in all the, he went through everything today, but we did not have a sit-down today.
Ed.
Ed Werder, WFAA. Can you elaborate a little more on how you were able to resolve Zeke's status after the discipline over the weekend?
I'm not sure you asked me, Ed. What do you mean resolve it?
How did it come to pass that he decided he wanted to be here and you still wanted to have him on the team?
Well, I think the biggest thing with Zeke was it was a team, it was a team discipline situation. Had a chance to sit down and talk about it on Friday, and then Saturday it was a mutual decision for him to stay back, and I respect that.
And could you update us on CD's scans?
Have not got the scans back yet, so we'll know more tomorrow for sure.
Yeah. Tom. Tommy Yarsh, DallasCowboys.com. Mike, I know one of the things that's frustrated you has been some of the pre-snap stuff. When that keeps happening, is there something that you try to do in practice to get over that, or is that kind of just naturally take time to mentally get out of players' heads?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, you know, just one of the things that practice components that we have is any time a player on either side of the ball, you know, has a pre-snap penalty, he's removed from the play. So, but, you know, that maybe that's not enough. But so... But, yeah, I mean, we emphasize it, continue to emphasize it. The pattern for the pre-snap, particularly on a road, is the one we just need to just continue to work on. Our nonverbal cadence is the number one, you know, violator of the pre-snap. So, obviously, we play home the next 2 weeks. But, you know, that's something we just got to continue to work on and make sure we get the mechanics tighter because it definitely bit us yesterday.
Newey.
They took my question about Zeke Elliott, but I'll ask you this. Tomorrow, America goes to vote. Do you all talk about the locker room, about voting and utilizing their rights here?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, it, you know, I think the league does a really good job of, you know, making sure everybody's aware of it. And I think just like, you know, everybody, it's on everybody's mind. But, yeah, I think the really the pre-voting, frankly, I think a lot of people have already voted based on the conversations that I've been a part of.
Did you vote yet?
Not yet. Been busy.
Are you registered in Texas or Wisconsin?
Texas. I'm a Texas resident. God, how can I get away with it? You know, I mean, Jesus. No, I'm kidding.
Brandon.
No state taxes here, right? Yeah, that's what I heard. Yeah.
That's what we heard. Brandon Cooks, he can come off IR this week.
He's getting better. Yeah, I've had a chance to visit with him. He's feeling good. I don't have a status. I mean, he's not a return to the field yet. So, you know, tomorrow's a big day for those guys, too. So hopefully he'll progress this week.
And Jerry talked after the game about the trade deadline that there's some things maybe in the mix. What does this team need?
Oh, I don't think it's as much as, you know, what do you need. It's really, you know, what's available and does it help you get better? That's how I've always, you know, approached the, you know, trade deadline. And obviously I don't have a lot of history of bringing players on at the trade deadline. But, yeah, I think if things are right, you know, the value and everything that goes into it. I mean, this is just not a decision, you know, based off of this position, that position. You know, it all has to fit together.
David.
Mike, you're talking about the pre-snap penalties and other things, where self-inflicted wounds that you've had this season. When you've had this many injuries as well, is it even more difficult to work through those issues? I mean, I know it's not an excuse, but when you're churning the roster the way you are in certain spots, it seems like it would factor in.
Well, I mean, that's really the point I continue to make about, you know, the continuity and the consistency. I mean, you're always, you know, thriving to increase that. And if you look at any time, you know, just use the offense, for example. I know the best runs of offense that I've been on, you know, you are in sync. I mean, you're humming, you know, you're playing faster than the other guy. You're getting out of plays. You know, players are finishing your sentences. You know, the quarterback hears the formation. He's already got the play call. He's in at a huddle. I mean, it's just that you're in sync at a higher level. So, I mean, and we have components of that. I think just the way we started the game, I thought, you know, here we go. And, you know, we just had a couple plays here and there that got us off that rhythm. But, yeah, that's what you're always striving for. And, you know, I think it's only stating the obvious. When you do have change in lineup, you know, it's hard to keep that pace. And, you know, you look at the teams that are playing very well right now, especially on offense, that's the groove that they're in.
Mike, aside from the two stretches without Dak, you also had a couple without Aaron in Green Bay. As a coach and play caller, when you do go from franchise quarterback to a backup, what do you do? Do you have to adjust anything schematically, systematically, or anything? How do you approach that?
Yeah, definitely. I think it's so much, you know, that's why I go back to the first question. It's more about the quarterback room. Is the room ready to handle these opportunities? And some rooms are better than others. You know, some rooms are, you know, connected tighter than others, you know, and that's in every position. So, you know, not only the importance of the starter, you know, getting ready to play the game, but it's also, you know, paying it forward to the young guys or the next guys. So this is the ultimate team game. I mean, this 17-game schedule is real, and that's why it's important to just making sure everybody's trained. That's why I always talk about the 68 players. It's just not 53, because this is how this thing goes. So you just got to just stay the course, and you'll come out the back, you know, come out the back end the way you want it to go. But yeah, I've been through this before. I've played five quarterbacks twice in my career. You know, 2020 was one of them. 2005 was another. So, I've been down this road on different levels. But once again, the preparation and the time spent with these three quarterbacks, you know, Dak, you know, Trey and Cooper, I think will show itself come Sunday.
Nick.
Mike, a few players had mentioned a couple of weeks ago that if you were to take care of divisional opponents, that there might be a chance at the end to sneak into the playoffs. Is that still kind of the resounding feeling, even after a Dak injury like that?
Yeah, I think the biggest thing for us is to beat Philadelphia. It's a division game. It's an important game. Yeah, I think that the way these schedules are laid out, you know, all those things will take care of itself if you just stay focused on winning one game at a time. And that's what we need to do. We need to play better, number one, keep it about ourselves. You always got to win your division games. I mean, let's be honest, it's hard to get in without winning division games. So that's our focus.
And then your Thursday night meetings that you typically have with Dak, is that something you maybe do with Cooper Rush this week?
Absolutely. Yeah, the process won't change.
Mike, can you walk us through the fake punt decision? Is that something that's based on the look and then can get called off, or is that something you're going for?
Definitely. I think clearly when you look at, you know, everything involved, you know, we haven't run that in, I think, was it 2.5 years? It's definitely matchup based. I mean, you're looking for the one-on-one, which we had. We had the matchup we were looking for, young corner coming up. So really, C.J. Goodwin is someone we have a tremendous amount of faith in, and he's always executed those types of things at a very high level, and Brian throws it very well. We practice it all the time. It's definitely, you know, a kill type situation, you know, so because we've had it up before, and, you know, sometimes, you know, C.J. will, you know, they'll double team him, and then you got to wipe it off. So, and that's way too much information, but yes, definitely it's a... We got the look we were looking for.
So you don't think it was an overly aggressive call for time and score of the game where you guys were and all that?
I think all deceptives are what they are. You know, when they work, it's a great job by the special teams coach. When they don't, that head coach doesn't know what the hell he's doing. I think that's been my experience with it. But it's definitely, if you draw it up by play design, we got what we were looking for. You know, so I think it's really came down to execution.
Hey,
Mike. Understanding you don't know the extent of Dak's injury, but will you be bringing in a quarterback either to work out, practice squad, or otherwise?
Yeah, great question, babe. Well, we're not there yet. I mean, you know, we really, just like I said, we had the team meeting at 2, visited with Dak afterwards, really talked more about the game, you know, and he'll continue to get some more information on the injury. So, but, you know, our personnel meeting, we didn't get into that.
With Lamb, did he further damage it later on when he dove on?
He's going to have more testing tomorrow, so we'll know more tomorrow. But just knowing CD, I don't see him not playing. But you know, that's why you do the testing. So.
All right. Thank you, Mike.
Thank you.
There it is, the Mike McCarthy press conference brought to you by your North Texas Ford dealers. Ford is the best in Texas. Quite a few takeaways inside their updates on stories. No specific on Dak's hammy, but he said Dak not available this Sunday versus Philadelphia, and they're going to talk about possibly an injured reserve here in the coming days. Micah progressing well, and he's feeling better, going to attempt to practice on Wednesday with Zeke. Will be available this week after he was disciplined by the team and did not make the trip to Atlanta. But he has not met with Zeke yet today. Okay, so those are the pertinent updates from that presser. We're coming back with some NFL news of the day, Wolchuk. Sound good?
Yeah, we already got a trade that's happened today. We've got firings and some beef between former teammates. That's next.
Did you know that VA New England Healthcare provides the very best medical care for our nation's heroes? Did you or a loved one serve this great country? You might be eligible for free healthcare.
Find out right now by calling 844-VA-CARES. That's 844-VA-CARES. Or visit the VA website at vacares.us. Look, if you or a loved one served this country, get the health care you earned and deserve.
For the past three seasons of Gone South, we've covered one story per season. Now, Gone South is back for a fourth season. But this time, we're doing things a little differently. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Thank you, Lucius. It's time now for Krusty's Corner, brought to you by Reliant Air Conditioning, gimmick-free AC repair and replacement. Here's Brian.
Thank you very much, Joel, and thank you very much to Reliant as well. Before I get started on this, you know, all week we talked about Kirk Cousins and how different he was when you played against him, when you put pressure on him and when he didn't have pressure. He was outstanding when he didn't have pressure.
Biggest splits in the league when pressure did not pressure.
Yeah, no blitz yesterday, no pressure. He was 13 of 15 for 145 and two touchdowns with no blitz. But what was different about yesterday for him is under pressure he was 8 of 11 for 110 yards and a touchdown. And he was 6 of 9 for 77 yards and a touchdown against the blitz. Why is that? Why is that all week long you talk about, you know, if you can get a guy, you blitz him, you put pressure on him.
Didn't they sack him twice on some blitzes?
Twice, yeah.
So two of them worked out for you, but
that's the thing that's disappointing, a little bit disheartening. If, you know, you feel like that everybody else in the league finds a way to get pressure on this guy, or when they do, that he's a different player, that he doesn't play at a very high level. And then you actually do get some pressure on him, and he hits you for 8 of 11 in this football game.
It just seems like that's the way it goes right now for this team. The
Falcons aren't snake bit.
Yeah, they're not good at getting pressure, and then what happens? They have a great day against you.
Well, and to you, look, we were talking about last week, and even there, you know, Eric and I were talking about it in the pregame yesterday. They're another team that doesn't get pressure. They found a way to play the twist game. Mike McCarthy's talked about this a bunch. That people, when they move the front up, you know, against the Cowboys, they have problems. Dallas has problems picking up twist stunts. That's what got you yesterday a little bit. And that was something that they just haven't done a very good job of being able to kind of sort those things out. It's been a problem. All right. I want to kind of give a little tip of the cap of guys that on the tape that I think played pretty well. Rico Dowdle, I think, played well for you. Osa Odighizuwa, I think, played well for you. Carl Lawson, I think, played well for you. And then Overshown, I think, played well for you in this football game. Those are the guys that I would kind of say that I know that several of those guys are on defense. But Dowdle, I thought, was your best offensive player in that game yesterday.
Well, your defense, totally. I mean, 15 missed tackles is what Mike Zimmer just told the media is what they had.
Yeah.
The tackling was terrible.
Gosh.
But they played well enough for you to have a chance to win that football
game. They have a chance. So, those were the guys. You know, we talked about how would you, you know, Kyle Pitts didn't hurt you in that game yesterday. Remember last week we talked about a little bit. Would you consider putting McQuamu on him? They did. And we talked about another thing is, would you bring Overshown as a poor man's Micah Parsons blitzer? They did in the first drive that Atlanta having got. They brought him off the edge on a rush and were able to get a pressure out of it. And never went back to it. Went back to him being a... They brought him on a blitz, but just as a straight, like, edge rusher. Went one time. First series, what'd they do? They got off the field.
Yeah. First time they forced that all year. Not allowed the opponents to score.
All year long. And so now here you are, and you're like going, gosh, could that have been something maybe you thought about a little bit more in this game? Those are the things that drive me nuts. You know, attacking guys. Tacking Alford in this game. I mean, he had 9 targets, 6 receptions. They didn't hit him for the yards they probably should have hit him for in this game. You know, but they didn't throw the ball past the sticks. Your quarterback was not interested in throwing the ball past the sticks yesterday.
He didn't at all, did he? No, third and down.
Not at all.
Third down, that he didn't throw to or past the sticks.
Yeah, and they, a lot of like say the routes were underneath the catch and the run after catch stuff, but
that's what emphasizing not turning it over gets you.
Yeah, well, whatever it wasn't good enough.
And drawn up plays where you don't trust your offensive line, True. So you're like, we're going to have to get this ball out quick. Hopefully, yeah. Lamb or Ferguson can make a play.
Yeah, opening drive for your Cowboys though, when they had that 3rd and 12, Prescott had a chance to hit Brooks for a touchdown on the post. And he threw short underneath to Lamb, like we talked about. It likely would have been a touchdown. You know, he might have felt like he didn't have the time. They did blitz through the middle, you know, but he hurried the throw to make sure they got the ball out of his hands. It was 3rd and 12 on the play. But if in fact he would have waited for Brooks, and that might be this, he maybe just doesn't trust Brooks.
You know, Brooks had a great, came up with a great play later on.
Yeah. So maybe that's it. 3rd and 12, he just didn't want to throw the ball that direction. There's a couple of times this happens when you look at...
It's just frustrating when your first read is short of the sticks.
Yeah.
On 3rd down. Why wouldn't it?
Yeah. Why are you trying? And
we're calling a play where the route's designed to be short of the sticks.
Dawson's right.
Yeah, exactly.
Might be in a situation, too, where he doesn't trust the offensive line and he's worried about turning the ball over down there in the red zone. You know, that might be the situation. Hey, I'm not going to throw the ball in the post because I'm worried about, but if he lets Brooks clear, it's going to be a touchdown likely.
How many plays were there like that? I know there was at least one other. He had Ferguson wide open on a deep ball he threw.
Yeah, he had a situation too where he just did not. They tried to run the wheel that we talked about it early. One of his sacks that he had. He had two options on the first sack that Atlanta had. And that's what I was saying. And the two options were he had Dowdle open in the flat and then Tolbert open on the wheel. And the wheel, I mean, going up the sidelines.
Mm-hmm.
And Guyton just could not hold on to his guy long enough. Guyton, I mean, he's battling. But Dak's in the pocket and all of a sudden he starts to move, which now puts Guyton in a kind of a bad spot. Because now Guyton's having to try and fight and get his guy, and he really can. But he had two options. Like I say, he could have thrown the ball underneath there to Rico Dowdle, or he could have hit the wheel, and he never saw the wheel. I'm sure when he was flying home last night, he was on the pad.
Damn it!
Yeah, the second sack that they gave up, he's got Turpin on a shallow cross. And he gets some pressure inside from Jarrett. Jarrett beats Steele. And so all of a sudden now there's just really nowhere for him to go with the football. But that's unfortunate right there, because if he hits the shallow cross, they've got a shot to get a nice gain there.
With Turpin right there?
Yeah.
Yeah. And even that, it's 3rd and 9 and you're throwing the ball like 4 air yards.
Yeah. Well, but.
And you're hoping that the guy
you're
that's.
Hoping, yeah,
that, you're that, hoping Turpin makes
you're,
a guy
you're
miss.
Your fastest guy. You got to give him credit. You got to give Prescott credit on the Dowdle touchdown where he juggled it. That is a great job by Prescott to climb in the pocket to find Rico. It's really a good design. They get Tolbert all the way across the formation through trash again, like we saw in the Pittsburgh game. And he was an option. He was available, but the pressure was probably too much. But I could see what they were trying to do. They get down there, and they're trying to kind of pick some guys off. And Tolbert does a great job of getting open. But Dowdle does an even better job of hanging on to the ball. I mean, Dak is under some serious pressure, and then he's able to kind of get himself in position. But concentrate to allow the ball to come down to him.
That was a double hero play from Dak to Dowdle. I mean, the entire offensive line caves in, I guess, outside of Tyler Smith. Everybody, BB and Martin, it's like, what are we doing here?
Yeah.
Steele's running into his own guy. Guyton's getting smoked. That was a nutty play.
According to Next Gen, Dak made every single rusher miss for Atlanta. Was, like all four
and his own offensive
linemen.
Yeah, you could not,
insane.
You cannot believe how much duress he was under to get that ball out. They got a call later in the game called, they had a 12 men in the huddle call.
Yeah.
And this one's on the sidelines. And you could see on tape what they were doing or what they were trying to do. Cook's on the field already from the previous play. And he's used as a pass protector, really, as a pass blocker. They didn't hand the ball to him. So he's in the backfield as a blocker. So the ball is thrown to Lamb short of the sticks. Schoonmaker, Spanford, and Lipke all come on the field. all of them come on the field. The receivers all go off except Lamb. And Cook's standing there in the huddle thinking he doesn't know where he fits in all this. So what they were going to do was they were going to try and hurry up to the line and run a play with Lamb in the backfield. Instead, like, Cook didn't know that he was supposed to come off. When all those receivers went off and the tight ends came on, he just kind of looked like that he didn't know where he was supposed to be. And then he comes off late, and then that's how they get called in for the 12 men in the huddle.
Yeah, but you have Baker Mayfield a few years ago in a short week becoming a Ram the same week they have a Thursday night football game and they go win a game. Dalvin Cook's been here for a while now, and this is not the first time that he hasn't been buttoned up.
Yeah, there's been some things that they need to figure out there. Carl Lawson, the sack fumble. This is a great job by Lawson beating Pitts off the ball. And they also had Bijan Robinson in there trying to help, but he got caught too far to the inside and was absolutely no help on the play. Robinson made a smart play to try and, as the fumble, he made a smart play to try and knock the ball away from Leofau, which he did, but he knocked it right to Wilson. Leofau was going to fall on the ball.
I was wondering how it got shot through there so quick.
Bijan Robinson is actually a really, if you're going to give up a play and try and make another heady play, he saw Leofau was going to fall on the ball and he knocked it forward. But Wilson was coming forward. They didn't have any other Falcon players there. Carl Lawson's second sack was he just drove his head in the middle of Matthew's chest. And drove him directly back into the play. Really nice job by Osa winning on the inside against a double team to make Cousins have to step up. And it was really good hustle by Lawson to be able to finish that play. So nice job by him. If I could finish up with the punt return from I'm going to do the if I could real quick the fake punt is what I want to talk about.
Oh yeah,
yeah. Mike said they got the look that they wanted here, and I don't believe he's right at all there.
Not sure what they were looking for.
I don't, yeah. Okay, on the other side of the formation, you have Flournoy as a gunner. 6'3", wide receiver on the other side of the formation. He's the left outside gunner. And you have C.J. Goodwin inside, on the opposite side, on the right side. This play had no chance from the start. It really, really didn't. You watch C.J. Goodwin come off the ball. He gets no separation. He's getting jammed. He tries to turn. The ball is already in the air. There's just no it's not putting a player in a position to have some success. Why not put Flournoy over there? Put a receiver that's got height. You got a shorter defensive back over there trying to block one-on-one. Put a taller guy, put a receiver. Put a guy that knows how to high point a football over there,
yeah,
and make the play. If you're going to run that play, make sure you have the right tools to run the play. Don't throw the ball to a guy who can't get off the line, doesn't know how to high point the ball,
and is covered.
And got covered.
Yeah.
That's not the matchup you want.
Especially when the rules dictate that guy can just completely mug Goodwin in that scenario. Which he doesn't have to play it like a real defensive back. He could throw Goodwin to the ground while the ball's in the air.
Like, pass interference is legal and the Cowboys were calling for PI.
Yeah, wow. And Mike,
so I was thinking, Mike, I don't was, think they knew
well, Mike that was the case. You see on the film, Mike.
Hey, Bones Fossil, man. That guy knows what he's doing.
Well, Mike was running down the sidelines kind of complaining and Bones grabbed him like, bro, they can do that.
Yeah.
At least somebody knew.
And we knew it when we drew it up. I don't know what's worse, not knowing or knowing and still drawing up the single worst fake punt of all time.
And by the way, too.
Just do the vomit, dude. We talked about the vomit on Friday.
I like the
bust
vomit.
Bust out the vomit. You know the vomit brought us, don't you?
No, what's the vomit?
Dude, it's a great fake punt. High school did it where the punter goes like he's punting it, but instead of when he goes for the kick follow through, he actually just uses his underhand to throw the ball into the sky, and his gunner knows that he didn't kick it and he threw it, and the gunner goes and catches it. It's one of the most amazing things you've ever seen. It's the vomit.
The vomit.
You just got to coordinate the swing of the arm and the leg, and up she goes.
Instead, they just made the entire fan base vomit.
That's right.
There you go.
Chief, where are we going next?
Well, we do have a sports hodgepodge. Got plenty of things to get to from incompetence around the NFL, but the lip readers caught Dak describing this team in three words yesterday. So I'd like to ask the Tolos to do the same. Describe these Cowboys using three words only, 877-881-1053. That's next year in the nation.
Did you know that VA New England Healthcare provides the very best medical care for our nation's heroes? Did you or a loved one serve this great country? you might be eligible for free health care. Find out right now by calling 844-VA-CARES. That's 844-VA-CARES. Or visit the VA website at vacares.us. Look, if you or a loved one served this country, get the health care you earned and deserve.
I'm Jed Lipinski. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.